Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Yep, still here.
And we're here with Gail Qualia from Bornstein, and Emmanuel, a law firm out of Garden City. Actually, what is a phone number for you, Gail?
516-227-3777.
516-227-3777. What I'd like to do now, I mean, the first segment we were talking about things that can happen to people in situations. I'd like to focus a little bit here, what can be done. If this is happening to somebody I care about, what are my legal steps? What are my you know, what steps can I do at the nursing home or in home care, et cetera, to start the ball rolling correctively? And then is there anything that I can get, you know, not restitution, whatever the word expression is.
Well, let's go to a situation where you believe there's a problem.
Okay.
So if, let's say your loved one is in a nursing home and you suspect something's not right. Let's say you go into the room and it's dirty, cluttered, it smells. You might even smell urine, which might signal that your loved one's diaper isn't being changed. Or maybe you observe a wet diaper or wet sheets. You really want to complain to a person in authority. You want to get the nursing supervisor, or you want to get the administrator, and you want, or a doctor, but you want to let them know that there's a problem. You might want to ask for a meeting where you can talk about the situation. And you definitely want to get their name, their telephone number, their email address, and start a paper trail about what's going wrong.
Okay. That's important, the paper trail, because otherwise...
If there's a condition that you observe, take out your cell phone and snap a picture of it. If the room is dirty, if your loved one is soiled, God forbid, you know, you see a bruise, take a photo of it so that when you do meet with people, they can't say it's not happening.
Okay.
The next thing I would want to do is make sure that the problem you complain about is corrected. So that means don't just go there and complain. Go to the meeting and then follow up with them. If it's a medical condition that develops or worsens while they're in a facility, you want to make sure the doctor is aware of it. And if it's not getting any better, you might want to insist that your loved one is transferred to a hospital to make sure that they're getting proper medical attention. Now, nursing homes have
just
ombudsmen.
Okay, maybe that's the question. Who's your advocate here? If it's just me going against, and it's very hard sometimes for, if it's my wife and she's 85 and I'm 86, you know, and I'm up against the chairman of the board or whoever the head social worker is, etc.
Well, hopefully everybody has someone who visits them. That is not always the case.
Okay.
But if, you know, if a woman's husband is too old to visit the nursing home, then hopefully there's a child or a niece or a nephew or a friend that will visit regularly. Absent that, I don't know how you would know about the problem. You know,
right.
We're talking about problems that are...
No, knowing about the problem is one thing. I'm talking about having the forceful hand to get it corrected. That's just too... I mean, that's a big step. I can see there's something wrong.
Well,
but you might be, you know,
well,
you're more, not shy, but it's like...
Right. But there are people who act as patient advocates.
Okay.
And there are also ombudsmans.
Okay.
That are assigned to nursing homes, so you can speak to the ombudsman for the nursing home. If it's a situation that's just not getting any better, you can report it to the New York State Department of Health.
Okay.
There's a telephone number that you can call, or you can make an online complaint. There's also the New York State Attorney General's Office, Medicaid Fraud Control Unit, that will investigate. And, of course, if we're talking about something criminal, you know, like physical abuse or theft, you might want to just call the police or report it to
the district attorney's
office.
Right. Now, what does your firm come into a picture like this?
Well, we generally get calls from people whose loved ones have suffered injuries or even death as a result of negligent care at facilities or at home by home care agency employees. And we will start civil cases to recover monetary damages on behalf of the elderly person or on behalf of their estate if they've passed away.
Okay.
So, but that's downstream of what we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, okay. That's why I was curious how that enters into it. Okay.
They'll come to us and obviously we'll take, you know, a chronology, we'll make a timeline, we'll obtain medical records, we'll review the medical records with medical experts, physicians and nurses that are expert in the field.
Okay.
And, you know, they'll tell us whether or not, in their opinion, there's been a there's been improper care, and if that's the case, then we'll commence a lawsuit.
So a senior advocating on behalf of his or her spouse wouldn't have you with them at that point. That's what I'm questioning.
Well, I mean, they could, but there are. I mean, they could call me, and I could discuss with them what I could do for them, or else I could recommend somebody to them that could assist them in advocating.
Right, because that's what you need more than an attorney at that point is an actual advocate.
Right.
Outside the Anne?
Can you troubleshoot any of this at all by visiting the facility or interviewing whomever it is that's going to be with the family member? Does that help at all?
In other words, does it help if I sit down with a family member and tell them what I think about the care?
No. If you shop around, if you're, let's say, having a family member and you realize they're going to need more care than being on their own. So either they're going to need someone in the house or maybe the assisted living or the independent living, or even if it's the nursing home. Do you need to shop to be able to pick a facility or a person? Do you think that would help in any way to find out up front whatever it is that you feel is important?
Well, I generally tell people that they shouldn't just bring someone into their home on a recommendation. I feel it's important to really check references. If you're dealing with some sort of home care agency, I think you have to ask the home care agency what sort of vetting process they have. How far does their background check of the individual go? And I think you want to look up the care agencies online to see if, you know, maybe there have been any complaints made against them. Medicare.gov has a website that you can go to that has a lot of information about facilities and home care agencies. I think you want to always make sure that if you're bringing someone into your home, you're dealing with a licensed right. person, because I think that gives you another level of protection. And as far as facilities, like nursing homes or rehab centers, I think you need to avail yourself of information online. As I said, Medicare.gov has information about facilities, as does the New York State Department of Health website. And I think you need to research, and I think you need to pick two or three that are geographically convenient for you and your family to visit. And I think you need to visit those facilities before you make a decision to put your loved one into one of them.
I used to be on the associate board at Parker, and Parker's been on the radio here, and it's a wonderful place, and so is Stern. But I tell people, you go there in advance. I mean, that's for rehab, but you go there, and if they don't take the time to walk you around, they're going to get paid for the next month if it's a rehab, or the next 2 years. And if you're going to buy a house, somebody walks you through the house. If you're going to buy a car, somebody takes you on a test ride. So why shouldn't you see the facility and say, oh, this is... doesn't look that clean to me. Thank you very much. I'm out of here. Because they don't, you know, they're not going to bring you to the model. You say, what floor am I going to be on? Third floor. Well, let's go look at the third floor.
Right.
So I think it does make sense. And you'll see, you know, you have to accept certain situations. You know, people in declining health, they're not going to be dancing around. But you're more concerned with the cleanliness, the liveliness of the staff, not looking at the individual patients, which, you know, it's just a situation as it is.
Right. And you might want to ask, you know, how is my loved one going to be spending their day? Are they going to be having therapies? When will those therapies be scheduled? Is there activities? What sort of activities do you have for my loved one to become involved in? You know, are they going to be taking meals in a dining room? That type of thing.
It's a shame. You're at the other end of the spectrum. But when you just said activities, it's what my daughter did when she was looking for daycare for her five-year-old. What are you going to be doing for the day? Do you go outside once a day, twice a day? Do they do sports? Do they do this? Do they books? You know, and so she picked a place by saying they seem very qualified and they're going to keep, you know, and the same thing you're going to do is like for my mother, your father or whatever, it's your spouse. What are you going to do during the day? Just have them in a chair?
Right.
Parker has once a week a cocktail hour, a happy hour with drinks like from 5 to 7, and they have music.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're getting a little something, but it's just the idea of come out of your room and it's socialization.
But the other piece of this is that once you find out what they have available for your loved one to participate in, make sure that your loved one is actually being taken to participate in those activities. You want to call up and say, oh, it's Wednesday, so wasn't this the day they were supposed to participate in such and such activity? Did mom go to that program? How did she like it? Great. You know, find out. What is your loved one actually participating in?
Or as I found out, my mother did those things when she was in assisted living. But once she went to the nursing home, yes, those things were available, but she had some type of cough. And medically, they didn't allow her to go.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was sitting in the chair. And I was not very happy. And I was there regularly. And they said, medically, we cannot put her with the others. So that's very difficult, knowing that those activities are going on. And I would have liked to have changed her, but how many times can I change her environment? And very, very difficult. I really wasn't satisfied or happy with that. And yet, we were stuck at that point. And that's a very difficult thing to address.
Right.
That's difficult. We're actually out of time, too. But that's difficult because then they have the authority of a medical evaluation. It's not like they did something on purpose. It's if your mom is passing a germ, it's like we can't run the risk of infecting other patients. Gail, I want to thank you. This has
you're
been
welcome.
Very informative. And you know, the end of it is people have to be advocates for people they love. At the end of the day, you shouldn't be hearing about the story or reading it in the paper after it happened. We have to stop it in advance. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. Gail, I want to thank you. You're going to be on again. And I know Gail from a couple of different organizations. It's absolutely great. We'll be right back.